Sponsored by JMR Rentals, professional digital cinema and broadcast equipment rentals in Brooklyn, New York. JMRNY.com.
Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby, and today on the program, I'll be speaking with Alice Lucy and Casper Van Dien, the stars of the new Swissploitation film, Mad Heidi. But first, we got some film festival news for you. First up, we head to the West Coast for Holly Shorts. The Oscar-qualifying Shorts Festival is now in its 19th year. According to their recent press release, known for being the catalyst for films to qualify and go on to win Oscars, this year the Academy has granted the festival their fourth Oscar-qualifying award for documentary short films. This accolade will join the other three top awards, Best Short Film Grand Prize, Best Short Animation, and Best Short Live Action. This year, the festival will take place in Hollywood, running from August 10th to the 20th. For more information, their website is hollyshorts.com. Next, we head to Italy for the 80th edition of the Venice Film Festival, where the opening night film will be Challengers, directed by Luca Guadagnino. The film stars Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, Rachel O'Connor, and is produced by Amy Pascal, who you'll know as the producer of the Spider-Man films. The Venice Film Festival will run from August 30th to September 9th. And for more information, you can visit their website, labiennial.org. Heading back to the States, the Telluride Film Festival will run from September 1st to the 4th. They will be celebrating their 50th year running. Each Labor Day weekend, the city of Telluride plays host to fans and creators from all over who attend this well-loved festival. Now, as of this taping, we don't have an official lineup, but we do hope to have updates for you soon. For more information, the festival website is TellurideFilmFestival.org. Our neighbors to the north in Canada have one of the biggest film festivals on the planet. The 48th edition of the Toronto International Film Festival will run from September 7th to the 17th. According to their website, TIFF is dedicated to presenting the best of international and Canadian cinema and creating transformational experiences for film lovers and creators of all ages and backgrounds. Now, for more information on that festival, the website is tiff.net. Also, in September, back here in New York City, we have the Soho International Film Festival. That festival will run from September 14th to the 21st. Now, that's a festival we've been covering since year one of the podcast. It's a favorite of ours. Last year, they were back at Village East Cinema for the first time since 2019, where I caught up with the festival's executive director, Sybil Santiago. Sybil, how does it feel to be back here at Village East?
It feels amazing. It was a little bit nerve-wracking prior before we started, and we weren't sure what to expect. We didn't know how people would be like, but as soon as the doors opened and as soon as the filmmakers came in, it was like, you know, like those that family reunion that you actually look forward to because everyone, even though a lot of people just met each other for the first time, it felt like everybody knew each other for so long because they were looking forward to having this moment together. So it was really, really nice. It was kind of somewhat wholesome too, how beautiful it was. So it was great. It was great to be back.
Feels like a homecoming.
It really super is a homecoming. Even the after party, it's just everybody didn't want to leave. I mean, you know, we had the next day still coming and people just stayed. So it was really great.
Give me some highlights that you've seen so far and kind of talk about what's to come.
Absolutely. First of all, right now we have a film that's going that we really love. It's a documentary about skateboarders, so it's really fun to see them all come into the theater with their skateboards. And we actually have quite a lot of short films this year from different parts of the world and within the country. We've been really, really great stories. You know, one of the things that I noticed this year, though, is that it's so much more diverse. It was almost easy to be diverse on my program because my submissions are actually diverse. And there were so many really strong, I know this is a word that's used in the industry a lot, authentic stories, but it sincerely were a lot of pure authentic stories that's being told by the filmmakers. So to me, I always say this, it just shows you the resilience of independent filmmakers and how important it is for industry to support and follow and nurture independent filmmakers, because that's where it all starts, you know, the storytelling. So it's really exciting to see new and veteran filmmakers making all of these projects, and somehow through the pandemic, making their projects, getting it done, getting it finished, and now they're here at the festival. It's just so exciting. I mean, I don't know how else to it's really a celebration. It is. It truly is. It truly is. And I hope it stays the same.
Last year, we talked about the Soho Film Forum. So can you give us an update? Actually, what is that for people who don't know? And then just kind of give us an update on what's happening.
So the Soho Film Forum is our nonprofit arm, you know, where we're looking to expand more on the education and sort of nurturing new filmmakers and people that are getting into the industry. We got our nonprofit actually just before the pandemic, and we were supposed to launch in 2020. And unfortunately, we got locked down, we closed down, so it was a little bit difficult to have a formal launch for the nonprofit. So now, hopefully this year, my fingers are crossed, but we're hoping that we can fully launch in 2023 so we can expand our program, because that's really my goal. Like, when I say diverse this year, we literally have programs of all kinds, all types. I even have an ASL film, you know, that I'm really proud of, and I'm hoping that I can expand on an actual full ASL program by next year. So there's a lot of things I'd like to grow with the festival, you know. So I'm hoping that with our nonprofit, with the Film Forum, it can help sort of nurture that, so we can really be able to get the support that we need, so we can expand the program and help more filmmakers and get more stories told and get really proper representation for everybody as much as possible.
Where do you see the festival in 5 years? Like, where do you see you guys down the road?
Down the road, I hope that we can expand it to a full festival. Like, for example, right now, we are pretty limited in the number of screens that we can have in the theater that we're in. My goal is that we can expand it so that we can have further outreach in many communities. So that the films that we bring in, whether it be just on this the main event or also smaller events that lead to the festival, I'm hoping that I can actually have that in place through the Film Forum. And at some point, if I can expand it big enough, I really want to have a film market in New York. And that's my vision board for the festival that I'm hoping that we could expand onto.
For those who want to either get involved or those who want to submit or just come see movies, where can they find you guys online?
www. I don't know if people still say that, but it's sohofilmfest.com. I might be dating myself, but it's sohofilmfest.com. We're on all social media, Soho Film Fest. I hope you follow us. I hope you watched the films from the film festival, because we have some really amazing filmmakers. And I hope that we get to see your film, your project, on our next festival.
One festival that we covered last year and hope to again this year is the New York Film Festival, which will run from September 29th to October 15th. This prestigious festival is currently celebrating its 61st year. Last year, we reviewed quite a few of the films there, including Decision to Leave, Armageddon Time, Showing Up, and of course, Tar, which was nominated for 5 Academy Awards, including a nomination for Cate Blanchett for Best Actor. She did take home the BAFTA for her work. I also interviewed Mark Jenkin and Mary Woodvine, the director and actor team behind Innis Main, which was sort of a festival darling. You can check out all of our videos on New York Film Festival 2022 on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. And for more on the New York Film Festival, their website is filmlink.org. October is a month jam-packed with film festival action and events. We'll do our best to keep you updated. One thing we haven't spoken much about on the show, which may affect film festival schedules, screenings, premieres, etc., are the strikes, the WGA and the Screen Actors Guild. Now, things have been turned upside down in the industry since May, when the WGA went on strike, and that effect was compounded when SAG-AFTRA went on strike. We haven't been able to cover that, mainly because of our production schedule, but we do hope to bring you more updates as events unfold, so please stay tuned for that. Moving on to our feature interview, Mad Heidi was released on home video and on demand on July 21st. We caught up with the stars of the film, Alice Lucy and Casper Van Dien. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
I gotta say, just right off the top, this movie looks totally bonkers. And I'm sure there's so much that I want to ask you. It's a shame that we have such limited time. My first, well, first, just to set everything up, for the uninitiated, how would you describe this film to someone?
I actually do have a description that I give to people, which is if you took a childhood fairy tale and made it in the theme of South Park meets Kill Bill, that is how I describe Mad Heidi.
That is brilliant. It's a takeoff on the old story of Heidi, and it's done in this sort of action film, revenge, grindhouse type. My first question is, feel free to jump in here. When you were first approached about this role, what was your reaction to the script?
I think that both of us just thought it was a bit nuts in all the best ways. I, for one, could definitely see the passion that they'd put into this project and the thought and the detail that they'd put into this project. I've said before, when I got sent the script, the level of detail in symbolism and messaging within the stage directions of the script was so clear from the offset. And I had such an early draft of the script as well. Well, I say early, it was early for me. I had many after that one. So the first one that I got still had such a high level of detail, and I just loved that they really back themselves. It's so absurd and it's so, bonkers, but they really believed in themselves, and you can't help but believe in people that believe in themselves like that. And yeah, I had to get involved.
And what about you, Kestrel? Your role, I keep wanting to describe him as like Swiss cheese Hitler kind of thing.
Wow, yeah, I was going for sometimes I was going for a little bit of Arnold Schwarzenegger, sometimes I was going a little bit Tommy Wiseau. I was always hoping for Christoph Waltz. I don't think I accomplished that part of it, but I was striving for, excellence, and I was having fun with it. I was having the most fun I possibly could have. I just enjoyed, I mean, I the I, when I got there, the set was already set. Alice created a great environment, great work environment. They all created a great work environment. It was just fun to be around everybody. It was a great set to be on, and they really just let us play, and that was so much fun. And everything was set up. There was so many details in it, and everybody's so excited. It was infectious, the excitement and everybody wanting to do the best job they could. It was just wonderful.
Alice, obviously you play Heidi, and Casper, you're the big bad. You murder her boyfriend for what is the reason they give?
So, let me tell you. Basically, Casper, i.e. Miley, not Casper because he's lovely. Miley has made lactose intolerance is not allowed in Switzerland anymore, and you must only eat Miley's special cheese. He's making this cheese. There are very few people around the country who are still dealing in cheese. Goat Peter's speciality of cheese dealing is goat cheese because he is a goat herder, and he is discovered selling exquisite goat cheese on the black market. To which Miley is not very happy about and sanctions his murder, which is what happens. And that is why Peter is killed, because he is illegally producing and distributing goat's cheese.
Very happy goats.
Very happy goats. You make
So,
very happy cheese.
was this kind of your first? It looks like your first big starring role.
Yeah, this is my first feature film. Mad Heidi was my first feature film and my first sort of major credit. So, yeah, it was a big one to sort of kick off with.
Was there any sort of fear or apprehension about that? Or, I mean, it looks like you just kind of dove right in.
Yeah, I think any fear or apprehension I had within myself was washed away quite quickly. I think everyone, or at least most of the performers that I know who are my friends, we all have imposter syndrome, and we all question whether or not we should really be there, or if we were the right choice, and could they have done this? And you in this industry, you really have to back yourself and believe in yourself. And especially coming out of COVID, I was definitely coming out of a what was it, crisis of confidence, and being able to know, you know, I'd said, oh, because I'm a black belt, I got this, or, oh, because I'd read it as a kid, this has come through. And actually I got to set and they were so lovely and so welcoming and gave me the room to play and to get things wrong and to know that if I did get it wrong, that I could try again. I think especially for my first role, it was so lovely to have that opportunity to grow, not only as an actor, but as a person as well, to trust my instincts and to know that it's okay to believe in yourself. Because I think as well with, you know, you have to be humble in this industry. You absolutely do, because there's no point in having an ego. And I don't believe in having an ego, but I do believe that for people to believe in you, you have to believe in yourself. And working on this project really taught me that for sure.
For you, Casper, you've played heroes in the past. I mean, of course, you're very famous for playing sort of a proto-fascist in Starship Troopers and things like that. So you're no stranger to the blood and gore. But is this your first real heel turn on say? Is this your first big bad sort of role?
No, I think I had a couple of different ones. I mean, it's my first like Swissploitation film ever. Because it is the first Swissploitation film ever. But I played in Daughter this year, where I played a bad guy. I guess, I mean, he's pretty horrible, and I don't know if you've seen Daughter, but it's probably one of the creepiest things I've ever played. And then in Hunt Club, I'm hunting women in it, and so I played a variety of different roles, and that one's with Mickey Rourke and Mina Suvari, and that one's out right now too. So it's out on Tubby now, I think too. So I have a whole bunch of different things, but I mean, I just love getting to play different roles. And I came into this set and everything was already, Alice had already been working on it and been working on Heidi for she'd been there, I don't know,
a couple of months
before me. Yeah. So she'd been there for, so when I came in, everything was already a smooth machine. They'd already been having a lot of fun, and it's just nice to be plugged into that. I was very welcomed, and everybody made me feel very welcomed and a part of it. And I think that's a lot to do with Alice and the directors, and also all the crew and cast. A lot of them were, some of them were investors. I mean, I don't know if all of them were, but there was quite a few of them that were. And it was even the guy that drove me to work was one of the, he invested his money in on it. So I hope he makes it back. I hope they all make it back. But that's the industry. It was so much fun. I can't even tell you. I had one of the best times on that one.
The one thing I wanted to know is, like, you know, for you, because you're not really known as a comedian, but obviously this is very broad. Was there a question for like directors, like, hey man, how far off the diving board do you want me to go on this one, or how big do you want me to be?
You know, I often get brought back a lot from what I'm doing, because I think I'm just whatever. I'll go for it if they let me go for it. I've always been that way. And a lot of times when I've been on sets, they've always gone, well, you should be doing comedy. When I was doing Tarzan, they go, maybe you should have been George of the Jungle instead of Tarzan. It's like, hey, that would be awesome. I was like, so I don't mind. And Starship Troopers is a comedy. It's a straight man comedy. I had to play it straight the whole time. Otherwise it wouldn't have pulled off the way it was. And there'd be sometimes where I'd be on the set and like, come on, Paul, this is going to look, he's like, no, this is great. Do it like this. And I was like, okay. So I had to trust in him. I mean, he knew more. So, you know, I don't know. I've done some comedy, been in that and involved in that, but this was a real run at something that I just wanted to be as crazy as I could be and be as believable as the craziness. You know, I wanted there to be a little bit of an edge to that craziness. I hope it worked. Thank you. Thank you, Alice.
Alice, so you were brought into this process pretty early. Was the part sort of written for you? Like, how was this thing developed? I know that, can you tell me a little bit sort of about the origins of the film and how it came to be?
Sure. So the film was originally titled Heidi Land. There is a part of Switzerland where the original Heidi, as it were, grew up, called Heidi Land. So the tourist board threatened to sue if they kept calling it Heidi Land. so they had to change the name. And then a load of people, when the directors were talking, started saying, we'd love to see this film. We want you to make it. They got no funding from anyone in Switzerland, and so they decided to take matters into their own hands, and they decided to launch a crowdfunding, which came along with a trailer. So they used a trailer, which they shot in 2018, which has a Swiss actress called Jessie Moravec playing Heidi in. And they produced the trailer to get funding for Mad Heidi. And so they'd already started writing it. They knew they wanted to do the project. They'd partnered with Film Chain, managed to get articles over in Screen Daily and raise a bit of awareness about the project. And then in 2021, which is when they started casting again for Heidi, because Jessie had said she was in a different sort of part of her life now, and she wanted to focus much more on creation and directing and producing and writing. So she and the boys decided it would be best for her to step away. And that is then when I had the opportunity to step in and play Heidi.
And knock it out of the park.
Thank you. So yeah, that's kind of how it came about for me. But the boys have been working on this for sort of 10 years prior to me getting the role, from initial conception, where I think the original story was going to be about Helvetia and Heidi was going to be a side character. And then they flipped it around and went, actually, no, Heidi should be the main character and Helvetia should be in. And then they can, you know, expand further on those journeys if they want to later on. But yeah, I think it was 10 years in the making until we got to the first day of shooting for them.
Have you guys seen this movie with an audience yet?
Yes.
Yes.
What was the reaction like? I'm dying to know.
I first saw it in Brussels at the BIFF Festival, which is the Brussels International Fantastic Film Festival. And it was sold out, over 350 people. And it was raucous. The crowd were so loud and they booed and they cheered. There was someone in the crowd who had a rubber duck who would squeeze it every time they found something funny. There were a couple of lads in front of me who were having a chat about the film as it was going on, and they were deciding what team they were on, and then they would just both do this at each other, and it was such an amazing feeling. And then I got to go to the Zurich Film Festival and watch it there in Switzerland, and we were kind of like the black sheep of the festival there, because I think a lot of people in Switzerland, originally, it was very much a 50-50 split of people who were really excited and buzzing about this film, and a lot of people who thought it was sacrilege, basically. and so having the opportunity and having Zurich Film Festival take a shot on us, from going to being the black sheep to ending up being the film that sold the most tickets at the festival that year, was quite amazing. I felt very lucky in the theatre showings that I've seen of it, but I've seen it now far too many times. But I've seen it in LA, in Switzerland. I've seen it in Italy, in Spain. I've seen it in the UK, and in Brussels as well. So yeah, I feel really lucky to have been able to see it with as many audiences as I have.
Yeah, we saw it in LA with her. We saw that there. And it was, I was really pleased with the reaction of the crowd. They laughed at places where I was wondering if they were going to laugh, and they did. So it worked out really well.
What do you see as the future to this movie? Like, is this kind of like one of those films they're going to play down in the East Village at midnight, you know, kind of thing? Do you think this is going to be sort of passed around?
I hope it is. I hope people, like, you know, like I said, it was about making people laugh, making people enjoy themselves and have a bit of fun. And it's a film that you can pay attention to and see the detail and the symbolism and all of the messaging, but it's also a film you can switch off to and just have a laugh. And I think that that's really, really lovely.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely got that grindhouse feel. If you like Robert Rodriguez or Quentin Tarantino or, you know, and you know, Paul Verhoeven, you like any these really out there directors that have you know, really cool cultish films that have followings, this to me feels like it has that. And I hope it finds that, you know, it seems to have, with a lot of the people that have interviewed us about it and a lot of the audiences have seen it, and just the reaction on the internet for the most part is really positive and really, really people just going, oh my God, this is so cheesy, and I love that. So I hope that if, you know, if it does find it feels like it's already found it, and it just feels like more and more people are getting it.
Discovering it now, aren't they? So yeah.
Do you guys have anything coming up that you want to brag about before I go? Anything else out there?
I have The Flood coming out on the 14th. I have Hunt Club, which is out on Tubby right now. I have, Monsters of California coming out in September that Tom DeLonge directed. I got a couple other movies out and I got this film. So very glad to be here, man. So thank you for interviewing us, man.
Oh, thank you. And Alice, I hope this is a star turn for you as well. And, you know, maybe you won't have to, murder as many folks in the next one. You get a light rom-com or something. But you guys have been great. I really appreciate the time. Thanks so much. That's all we got for you today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, including our movie reviews, visit our website, norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. I'd like to thank my guests, Sybil Santiago, Alice Lucy, and Casper Van Dien. And a big shout out and thanks to our sponsor, JMR Rentals. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.